I invite you to turn for our scripture reading this morning to the book of Hebrews. And we are looking at several passages, shorter passages throughout the book of Hebrews, but we begin in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and then we will turn over to chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. And then finally, chapter 10, verses 19 through 24. And so let us now give our attention to the reading of God's holy and infallible word, beginning with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And now Hebrews 7, beginning at verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And then Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the subject or the theme of God's wisdom. And as we begin a new year, how we are called always to look to God and to rely upon his wisdom rather than our own understanding, and to understand that God is the sovereign ruler over all, that he always knows what is best for us, and how we are encouraged to ask God in prayer for the wisdom that we need. Last week, we looked at the theme of the need to run the race of the Christian life with perseverance. And again, a reminder as we look to the coming year that it is our God who is with us and who is the one who provides the grace of perseverance and endurance that we may stay the course of our calling. And this week, another reminder that ties together the previous 2 weeks, and that is an encouragement regarding prayer. And my desire as pastor is to bring that encouragement to you that it is a blessing that we have been given to have the privilege of approaching our Father in heaven, coming before the throne of grace with a confidence in Jesus Christ, that we might grow in our own prayer life, that we may grow together and individually and as families in trusting God, relying upon God, calling upon God in prayer for our everyday lives. And we need that reminder, because prayer is hard work. Prayer is something that does not come naturally to the natural person in his or her sinful estate. But as God's people, as those who are redeemed by Christ, the prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have been given as the people of God, that we may know that God hears our prayers, that God answers our prayers, that God is at work. And through prayer also, we are growing in our knowledge of God and enjoying communion and fellowship with Him. And how often it is true, all of us have experienced it, that we have these seasons of prayerlessness where we really struggle with our prayer life. There are times that our prayers seem to be dry and stale, perhaps artificial. We know that we should pray. We know that prayer is a duty. We know that prayer is a privilege. And yet, there are times when we feel like we're just kind of going through the motions of prayer. And it is something that we want to think about here this morning. Because one of the ways, perhaps, that is an indicator of that struggle with prayer is the fact that at times we conclude our prayers, we shoot off a few prayers to God and maybe throughout the day, and when we pray in the end, in Jesus' name, amen. How often do we just say those words without much thought? Think about this for a moment. Why do we pray and conclude our prayers in the name of Jesus? Is it something that we just do out of habit? Is it just a mere formality? That's just the way you end prayers? Some erroneously use those words as kind of like a magic formula, that if we pray in Jesus' name, then we will get, our wishes will come true. And that is sadly what Christian prayer is often like. It's kind of like a Christianized version of a wishing well. Here we are focused upon our wishes, our desires, and many times the physical or material needs of our lives, and we don't move past that. And as we pray in Jesus' name, what are we really saying? Well, this morning, I would want us to pause and think for a moment about the privilege of prayer. And that privilege of prayer is tied to praying in Jesus' name. Because why do we pray in Jesus' name? It is because Jesus is our great high priest. It is because Jesus is the mediator who is the go-between between us and God the Father. And as we pray in Jesus' name, we want to approach prayer mindful of the fact that all of our praying is made possible by Jesus. That the very privilege of drawing near unto God is possible because Jesus is our mediator and our great high priest. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Now, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that we are to pray to the Father in the name of the Son. And why is it that we have been given the privilege of prayer? It is because, as the children of God the Father, because of the redeeming work of Jesus, God's design and purpose, His intention is that we would be fruitful. And isn't that what we want? As we struggle with our prayer life, and sometimes we get in the trap of just thinking about our physical needs, our material needs, the tyranny of the urgent, of the things that come at us on any given day. And yet, even in these mundane things, and even in these things that belong to our daily life in this world, what is it that God wants to do, intends to do in our lives? He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to give Him glory. And prayer is so essential to that. Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in My name, that He may give it to you. And the whatever is tied to the fruitfulness that God is asking for, that God is looking for, that God is choosing us for, that we would be fruitful for Him. And so, again, let's look together at the privilege of prayer. It is this privilege of prayer that helps us to get beyond the mere artificial, mechanical prayers that we sometimes fall into the trap of praying. It is the reminder that to pray in Jesus' name is an encouragement for us. It is getting at the very heart of the gospel itself. It's reminding us that what drives our prayer life is the conscious awareness that we are recipients of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has opened up the access to God the Father. And so there are three aspects of the privilege of prayer that we're going to look at this morning. And what are these three aspects of the privilege of prayer? Number one, it is access to God the Father. Access to God the Father is a privilege through the mediation of Jesus. Number two, it is the assurance that God hears us, and that God is answering, and that God is the one who knows best what to give us. So the assurance that God hears us and that He will answer according to His wisdom, according to His good will. And number three, the third aspect of the privilege of prayer is to see then that we have the privilege of participating in God's work in this world, of God's purposes that He has for His people as we serve Him in His church. So we're looking at those three things: access to God, the assurance that God gives us, and participating in the purposes of God that are being worked out in this world. And the first two things are very closely related to one another. We're going to see that these first two things are really tied together very closely because they are related to the two aspects of the high priestly ministry of Jesus Himself. Now, when we read through these passages of Hebrews 4 and Hebrews chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 10, what was the recurring theme that you heard in those verses? What are the words that were repeated in each of those passages? And if you think, and if you would answer, that it is the theme that we are to draw near, then you would be correct. In each of these passages, what ties them together is that recurring theme. Let us, in chapter 4, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. In chapter 7, in verse 25, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. This language of drawing near is captured by the first privilege of prayer that we're looking at, that Jesus has opened up access to God the Father because of His mediation, because He is the Redeemer. And this is tied to Christ's death and resurrection. And so when we think of access to God the Father, is there anything that we can do to open up that access? Is there anything that can be added to the work of Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. You see, we are focusing on what God has done in the past. It's an accomplished fact of history. And we're saying, look at Jesus, look at His suffering and death for us. Look at His resurrection from the dead. Look at how He has taken our sins and paid for them in full at the cross. Look at how in His resurrection He has been raised in order to give us a new life and to impute to us, to reckon to our account, His perfect righteousness. Have you thought about this? What is the basis for prayer? What is the reason that you have access to God as Father in heaven? Is it because you pray the right way? Is it because your words are always the right words to say? Is it because you've been good this past week and so God will listen to you because you've really tried hard to keep His commands? No, none of those things, right? It's not about us. It's not what we do. You see, that is what the pagans do in their prayers. They believe that they will get what they pray for because of their rituals, because of their mantras, because they will do the things that they believe will appease their gods and bring success to their prayers. But you see, Christian prayer is rooted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so the access to God, the reason why God hears our prayers, is because Jesus is our Savior, because Jesus is our Redeemer. And He has made a way for sinners like us to be forgiven and to be accepted. And we talk about justification by faith alone. Remember how the Apostle Paul in Romans 5 opens the chapter, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, do you hear the similarity in Paul's words of having access to be able to stand before God? And he's speaking about our justification, right? And so when we ask the question, why are you a sinner accepted by God? And you say, it's not because of my righteousness, it's not because of my works, it's not because I'm good enough to stand before God and be accepted by God. It is only because justification. Jesus has paid for my sins, and by faith I receive the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. And it is Jesus who has done what I could never do. He lived a perfect life. And it is His righteousness that is placed on my account and received by faith. And that is why God accepts me, because when He sees me, He sees my Savior. He sees the righteousness of Christ when He looks at me. Well, notice the parallel, that the very reason why we are accepted in our justification, we are made right with God, we are reconciled to God, is the very same basis that serves as the foundation for our prayers. Do you see that? And that is so important, because our encouragement to pray, to open up the privilege of prayer, begins by understanding that we in ourselves are unworthy to be accepted by God. And we are unworthy that our prayers should be heard by God. But it is Jesus and His finished work on our behalf. It is faith in Him that we are justified, and that also it is the same basis upon which our prayer life depends, that God loves to hear the prayers of His children because of Christ. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? Prayer does not begin with you working yourself up into the right frame of mind and somehow doing the right thing to be heard by God. What did Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer? What are the very first words that we are taught to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. You see, prayer is the privilege of those who have become the children of God. God is no longer merely our judge, but rather the judgment of our sin has been removed in Christ, and God is our Father. And He delights in the prayers of His children. That is the first privilege of prayer, access to God. Now, the second privilege is this assurance that God hears and is answering, that He is working. Sometimes we pray and we feel like there is this distance between us and God. And sometimes there is a need indeed for us to be aware of our sin, and that when we are praying with repentance, we are praying with contrite hearts, we are praying in faith in Jesus Christ. But where is this assurance that is added to what we've already said, the access? And the assurance is centered in what we read in Hebrews 7, that Jesus is better than the Old Testament priests because He will never die again. He has conquered death. He has been raised from the dead. He is at the Father's right hand, and He lives forever, Hebrews 7:24. Consequently, verse 25, in other words, what does that mean for us? Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since, here's the important thing, since He always lives to make intercession for them. This is why the first two aspects of the privileges are tied together. Because the first one, access to God, rests upon the past accomplishment of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, once and for all. But now we're looking at the second aspect of Christ's high priestly ministry. He not only has given the basis and grounding for our prayer life, but what do we read here? He presently, continually lives to intercede for us. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you know that even when you feel that God is far away, that your Savior is not far away, that He is with you, that He is present, and He is the one who continues to be the go-between, that even when you don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, you are at a loss for words, you are struggling to even pause and to spend that time in prayer before God the Father, you need to know that Jesus is interceding continually for you. And you see, this is tied to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, that the Spirit is interceding for us, that even when we do not know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit is interceding with groans too deep for words. And the idea here is that this is the high priestly ministry of Jesus. There were the Puritans who were known to point out, some of them in their writings, I can't remember which one right now, but the idea that we know that the Spirit is called the Paraclete, an advocate, the comforter that Jesus has given to His church in His resurrection and ascension into heaven. But Hebrews is also telling us that Jesus is that advocate, Paraclete, at the right hand of the Father. And so you see, it's not two separate ministries of the Son and of the Spirit, but it is rather the ministry of the Spirit of the risen Christ, so that we have a double paraclete, if you will. We have the Son at the Father's right hand. We have the Spirit who indwells us. And this is the high priestly ministry of Jesus on our behalf, that the Spirit enabling us to cry out to God as our Father, the Son who is our intercessor and who perfects our prayers, who takes our prayers and brings them before the throne of grace. And so, beloved, we may know that Jesus is working even in and through our imperfect prayers. And it is God who hears them, and it is God who will answer them. And it is a reminder again that we are looking at the wisdom of God. We are looking at the sovereignty and power of God. And so as we put these first two privileges, two aspects of the privilege together of prayer, do you see the greatness of God first? Do you see how God is holy and righteous? Do you see that He is the King who is sovereign and all-powerful? Do you see that He possesses all wisdom and might and goodness? And do you see that in and through Jesus Christ, the way has been opened up to the fountain of God's grace? That there is never an end to the grace and mercy and the provisions that God has for His children in and through Jesus Christ. Are you struggling with illness? Yes, you can pray. But you see, we're going beyond the illness to understand that God is working even as we pray, that we would grow in grace, that we would grow in reliance upon the Lord, that we would see that He is using all of the physical things and all of the spiritual things, as we speak of them, working them together for good. Do you see that it is in Jesus that God's grace and mercy are always sufficient for you? In our struggles with physical things, in our struggles with temptation and sin, in the challenges that we face in various ways, here these first two privileges of prayer highlight the completeness of the ministry of our great high priest in heaven, and they encourage us to approach God and to cry out to Him, to come before Him, and to see that though we in ourselves are unworthy of such a great privilege, in and through Jesus, God the Father delights in the prayers of His children. May we run to God. May we see the heart of God in Jesus Christ. See the love of God for His people. May we look to Him in prayer. Well, that leads us finally to the third aspect of the privilege. And how is this one related to the previous two? Well, here, we can put it this way. We are looking at how we are to pray, how we are to grow in our prayer life in light of the first two things that we have said. That when we look at the access to God, when we look at the assurance that is found in the intercession of Jesus on our behalf continually, then we begin to see and understand that the privilege of prayer is that we are called to be fruitful, that we are called to participate in the purposes of God as they are being worked out in this world and in His church. Now, to put that in concrete terms, we really have to look no further than the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is that pattern for prayer for the disciples of Jesus. It is that pattern of prayer for God's children. And you may remember, some of you, earlier on in our series in Matthew's Gospel, we spent several weeks going through the various petitions, the requests of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But to summarize this morning what we're focusing on, it's the idea that not only do we have the past work of Christ, not only the present ministry and intercession of Jesus, but our prayers are informed by the future hope of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. How does Jesus teach us to pray? The first petitions are what we call the Thy petitions. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so these Thy petitions, notice, are prayers, are requests that we can pray like the 12 disciples were taught to pray so long ago. And these prayers are always relevant until Christ comes again. Why? Because you see, we're looking ahead, aren't we? We're praying for the day when God's name will be hallowed, will be glorified perfectly, fully, completely at the return of Jesus, when all of His and our enemies are vanquished once and for all, and when we see the fullness of that salvation that will come at the end. Yes, salvation has already begun for us, but we are looking forward to glory. Likewise, Christ's kingdom. It has already been revealed. It has already come, in one sense, in the arrival of Jesus and because of His work at the cross and the resurrection. But we are looking forward to the full revelation of the glory of that kingdom at the last day, and entering into that kingdom. And so, at this time, how are we praying? We are praying that God's kingdom purposes will be realized in this imperfect world. And we, as those who are already, in one sense, raised up to new life, we are already saved, we are already God's people, but we are not yet in our eternal home. And so how are we to pray? We begin with a focus upon God, don't we? And you see how this transforms this privilege of participating in God's work, in His kingdom activity in this world, that even the ordinary things that we need restoration physically, we need daily bread, we need the forgiveness of sins. We need strength in that we would not be led into temptation, but delivered from evil. We can think of all of the various things, but they are all connected to those first petitions about glorifying God in His name being exalted, about His kingdom and His will being done in earth as it is in heaven. And so how do we move beyond those mechanical kind of prayers? How do we get beyond the dryness and the staleness of our prayer life? It is by understanding that through faith in Christ, because He is the great high priest, you see, we are united to Him. We have the access to God. We have the assurance of His continual intercession. And we also are beginning to understand how our prayer life is to be directed by what God has revealed in His Word, that we are praying more and more, that even the ordinary things that we need are not isolated as just my concerns, my immediate needs, not just my desires, my wants, but rather it is the idea that we're praying as Jesus prayed. More and more, not my will, but Thy will be done. You see, that's what the Lord's Prayer is teaching us. That we're seeing that our desires as young Christians are often like little children. Little children who sometimes ask for things that we want, but as parents, we know that that's not what is best for our children. And yet as they grow and mature, they are learning more and more the difference between desires that are selfish versus the desires that are in keeping with what is wise, what is truly good and best. And that is what we are on this journey as well as the children of God. That the remedy to a prayer life of going through the motions is a prayer life that sees itself connected to the prayer life of Jesus. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to go to our Father in heaven. And beloved, I encourage you, yes, bring your desires before God. That is what prayer is, you see. It's not mechanical. It's not about the right words that you have to have. It's about pouring out your heart before God. But may you grow also in seeing that your desires are to be conformed to God's desires. For Jesus again has said to us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you." Here in Hebrews, the writer says over and over again, in light of Jesus and His ministry, for us, in us, through us, let us draw near unto God. Let us draw near unto God. It is God who gives us the confidence, because our trust and our hope is not in ourselves. It is in the One who has redeemed us. And those final words are, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. May we pray for one another. May we encourage one another that together, as we draw near unto God, that we may bring glory to the One who has redeemed us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we can see in the Scriptures that You are the great God, that You are the glorious God, but also that You are the God who is full of goodness and grace and mercy toward Your children. Oh Lord, may we be refreshed this morning by Your Word, to be reminded that on our own we are unworthy of the privilege of prayer. It does not belong to the unbeliever. It belongs only to Your people. And may we, O God, then be encouraged to grow in our prayer life as we see that access and assurance, and to see that we can participate in the purposes of God revealed to us in the Scriptures. O Lord, may You encourage our hearts today. May You help us to cling to Christ, and may You help us to grow in our prayer life together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.